Well, hey, welcome to Crosspoint, and welcome to a really brand new series. So excited to be kicking off this series we are calling Faith Fuel. I mean, right? How cool is that? And let me be honest with you. When I walked in today, I didn't know that this was happening. So I walked in, I'm standing in the back. Brad is up here playing guitar, and I'm thinking, I don't know who's in there. Is that Drew? Is that Bailey? Is that, like, I had no idea until I walked in. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not real. Okay, well, so it just shows you, like, really kind of where I'm at mentally today. But hey, how about that? I mean, isn't that incredible? The month of May is not that far, and we get a little crazy around race season. So yeah, we're jumping ahead of ourselves maybe a little bit, but so excited to be kicking it off. My name is Chris. If we've not had a chance to meet yet, one of the pastors here at Crosspoint, and I'm so excited about this series. And as we dive further into this year, 2022, because I think we can all agree that there have been times in the last year or maybe even the last 2 years that we've just kind of felt like, you know, maybe I just don't have what it takes. Maybe I just don't have what it takes when it comes to my faith. Maybe if you're anything like me, there have been times in the last year where it felt like you just didn't know how to move forward in the midst of a season that just seems never ending. And the idea behind this series that we're diving into today is that we want to ask a big question. We want to give you really five answers to what we think this question is. And so here's the question that we're going to be asking, that we're going to be diving in over the next several weeks. It's what fuels and facilitates the development of an enduring faith? What fuels and facilitates? In other words, what are the things that help facilitate? What are the things that help grow an amazing, an unshakable, an immovable faith that we talked about last weekend at game day? And the type of faith that it doesn't matter the storms that are surrounding you in your life. It doesn't matter the difficult circumstances, the season, the changes that maybe are happening in your family. I mean, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, that you still have a faith that is strong. That you still have a faith that is clinging to God. That you still have a faith that's truly immovable. Which, real quick, I mean, I know we just talked about game day, and we had a ton of fun at game day last weekend. If you missed it, you need to check this out. Are we gonna let the enemy break us down? Oh no, let's go crazy. Let's get nuts. Anybody enjoy game day last week? Anybody enjoy that? I mean, man, I'll tell you, you know, I've been a pastor for almost 9 years now, and there is nothing like a game day weekend at Crosspoint. There's nothing like it, because it reminds myself, it reminds us here that we don't have to take ourselves too seriously, that we can have fun in church and still grow and still seek truth in the midst of it. Game day, it's an incredible weekend every single year. If you want to check it out, go to crosspointweb.org/watch, and you can see all of our content really from like the last 2 years, but game day, it's an incredible one. But here's a thought for us tonight as we get started. You know, if simply believing something was enough to make a difference, think how different your life would look. I mean, we all would say we believe the science behind good health and nutrition, right? I mean, we'd all say that across the board, right? But if simply just believing it was enough, that you would have all the benefits of eating healthy and working out by just simply believing it, I mean, your life would look different. Our world would look different. I mean, wouldn't that just be amazing? I mean, if simply believing was enough to make a difference, think how different our world would look. I mean, nobody would have addictions, because we can all agree that addictions are not a good thing. They ruin our relationships. They ruin our health. You know, if simply believing something was enough to make a difference, our lives would look differently. I mean, we all know the principles of finances, right? I mean, how to stay out of debt, how to spend less than we make, and we can all agree on those things. And if simply believing that was enough, your wallet would be overflowing, right? I mean, everything would be so much easier on a financial end. And when it comes to school, I mean, we all know you have to prepare. You have to do your homework in order to continue on, in order to continue to grow. And if simply just believing in the goodness of homework was enough, I mean, think how much easier school would have been, right? I mean, oh yeah, I believe that's good for me. So like, that's enough, right? I mean, if simply believing was enough, I mean, our lives, they would look different. they would look better. They'd be so much easier, right? But believe it or not, Jesus, he knew and he taught in a way that simply believing wasn't enough. And consequently, Jesus, he didn't invite people just to believe the things that he said. He invited people to do the things that he said. He knew what we know, that doing is what makes all the difference. And when we believe but we don't do, our dreams they're not going to come true. We fail in life not because of what we know. I mean, we fail in life because ultimately we don't do the right things. Ultimately, it's doing or not doing that really makes all of the difference. And what's worse is if we believe all of the right things, but we don't do anything of what we believe, then our faith, it starts to become really frail. Our faith, it starts to get weak. It starts to become and look really fragile. And Jesus had an agenda for his first century followers. Jesus had his agenda actually for you and me sitting in this room watching at home online right now. Jesus, he had an agenda, and his agenda was that we would be women and men that are characterized by this big, this active, this in spite of faith. You know, we talked about it last weekend, that was one of the only things that truly amazed Jesus. I mean, this explains his invitation to follow him. I mean, this was a relational and active and interactive thing. And Jesus, he never altered his invitation. But the church eventually did. The church kind of reduced it to just more of like, just believe in me. I mean, it's a lot easier, it's a lot safer, it's a lot less demanding than follow me. It's an invitation that leaves you really exactly where you are. I mean, no change necessary. You know, if it's just simply believe, well, no change necessary. I can stay right where I am. I can continue to do the things that I do. Well, I believe that, and that's enough, right? But Jesus, he didn't invite people to just merely believe true things so that they could go to heaven when they died. No. Jesus, he invited people to live a life that reflects their confidence, their trust, and their faith in God. And here's the thing. God is most honored by our living, our active, our death-defying, our in spite of faith. Think about it in your own world, in yourself. I mean, you are most honored. You're lifted up when there's a gap between what people expect of you, when there's a gap between what people expect of you and then what they experience of you in reality. And God is most honored by our living, our active, our death-defying, our in spite of faith. Even when it feels like maybe it's not going to come true, even when it feels like this season will never end, even when it seems like these circumstances that surround me, I can't change. When we have faith that continues to push forward, God is most honored by that. And Jesus didn't invite people to simply just believe things. He invited people to follow him. And to wake up every morning and ask the question, what would I do if I was confident that God was with me today? How would I respond? How would I react? What would I attempt to do? What would I initiate? What would I avoid? What would I forgive? What would I go out and have to seek forgiveness of? And in this series, we're going to ask and answer this question that over the course of a lifetime, what is it that fuels and facilitates the development of an active and an enduring faith? How do we develop that long-range type of faith? That real world, that in the moment, that gritty, that death-defying, that in spite of type of faith. It's a faith that goes the distance, that has confidence in God, that endures the seasons of life, that start in childhood all the way through adulthood. And what is it that creates this in spite of, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus anyway. Even when I don't understand it, I'm going to follow Jesus anyway. What is it that creates that type of faith? What are the essential ingredients? I mean, what do we do when we stir these things together? What are those ingredients that result in that enduring faith in God? And we're going to look at this based on what Jesus taught, but also modeled on some conversations that we've had. I mean, some conversations, some things that we've seen over the years of walking with people. And we've kind of come to the conclusion that there are five things that are a part of this. And we're going to talk about these five things all throughout this entire series. But there are five things, really, that God uses to grow our faith. They intersect with our lives and throughout all of the different seasons of our life. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about every single one of these. But today, we're just going to look at this first one. And and we're going to call it this. We're going to call it practical teaching. And I know you see that practical teaching on the board, and you're probably like going back to a classroom just already getting bored, right? But we're talking about when we say practical teaching, it is so much more than just the words on the screen. This is like, do you remember that first time that it became real to you? That first time that maybe someone explained something about the character of Jesus for the very first time, it clicked for you. That for the very first time, it landed with you in a way that it never had before. Maybe you'd never seen Jesus in that way before. That's the practical teaching that we're talking about here this weekend. And faith stories, they always include a time when somebody was first introduced to this practical teaching of Scripture, this practical teaching of the Bible, of the life of Jesus, really in a way that they had never heard before. When somebody finally gave them some handles. When somebody finally gave them some application, and the reason application, this acting on what you believe, the reason that it grows our faith is this, is that when our active faith intersects with God's faithfulness, our faith grows. When we obey and God comes through, our trust, it deepens. Whenever we follow Jesus in this area, I mean, that's challenging. It costs us. I mean, we can all agree to that. But when our faithfulness to God, when it intersects with his faithfulness to us, I mean, our faith, it grows. It gets bigger. Your faith, it's kind of like a muscle. It's kind of like a muscle. I mean, if you want to grow it, you have to exercise it. I mean, you're not going to be able to just walk in and deadlift 600 pounds on the first day. I mean, you've got to grow it. You've got to work it. You've got to exercise it. And when we experience God's faithfulness, we honestly experience God. And we've said this around here a time or two, but let's just remember that trust is the currency of relationships. And a relationship with God, it's all about trust. And obedience, it demonstrates trust and it provides God with an opportunity to be trustworthy to you. And so there was this theme, you know, that bled all throughout the teaching of Jesus. But most notably, this theme, it shows up in this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. And if you grew up in church, I'm sure you've heard the Sermon on the Mount. But even if you didn't, I mean, you've heard bits and pieces. These are a part of popular culture of honestly, sometimes it feels like morality. I mean, these are things that you have heard before. And I think the reason that it's most notable is what Jesus taught, I mean, it was real. It was real world. It was a faith-building application, and it was challenging. It was practical, and Jesus, in the midst of it, he's introducing his upside-down kingdom ethic. And it was this completely new concept that was all about putting others before yourself. It required so much of you. You might have to turn the other cheek, and if someone asks you to do a favor, you might do more than they even asked for. If somebody asks you to give, that you were to be generous, maybe even giving more than they even asked for in the beginning. I mean, Jesus would say things like, forgive regardless. Pray for your enemy. Don't worry, right? I mean, how hard is that? Don't worry, Jesus. Like, that's not practical, man. Have you ever lived in 2022? Or have you ever walked this? I mean, don't worry, Jesus. Like, that's just not practical. He'd say things like, you can't be right with God and at odds with other people. You know, when we read the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, it's terribly practical, and yet so much of it feels impractical. Jesus, he was saying things to them. He was saying, like, I'm inviting you not to just simply believe a different way, but to do your life differently. And this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And no wonder the church pulled back and made it just believe in him. Because Jesus' teachings, they were so challenging. But Jesus, he concludes the Sermon on the Mount with this promise. So this is Matthew 7. If you want to look it up, you know, read it for yourself. It's going to be on the screens as well. But this is what Jesus says right at the end. He says, Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and believes them, no, that's not what Jesus said, and remembers them, no, that's not it either. Again, maybe agrees with them, maybe feels convicted by them, no. And honestly, like, that's maybe as far as sometimes a teaching or a sermon's ever gotten you before, right? But Jesus says that anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, in other words, who acts on what Jesus taught, it is like a wise man. And we all want to be wise, right? I mean, we would all agree, we want to be wise people. We want to be wise in our relationships. We want to be wise in our marriage, in our finances, with our kids, in our parenting, in our job situation, with our friends. I mean, we all want to be wise, right? I mean, Jesus is talking to you. If you want to be wise, you need to lean in right here. It's like a wise man, a wise person who connects the dots between our behaviors and the outcomes, who really lives as if today's behavior, it matters for tomorrow. It creates tomorrow's reality, that they understand that doing, not knowing, or just believing is actually what makes the difference, that doing is what it is here. Jesus goes on, he says, the wise man who built his house on the rock. And now I'm no builder by any stretch of the imagination, but I understand a little bit about what Jesus was talking about here. You see, in Jesus' culture, and the people that are there, they're sitting there, they're listening to Jesus, they know exactly what he's saying. They lived this. They knew what it meant to build a house on rock, on a solid foundation, on a footing that was going to be secure, that would last in the midst of difficult seasons and storms. I mean, building on rock, it was labor intensive. It was time consuming. It was incredibly expensive. And Jesus, his point is this, that the wisest thing that you could do is to live as I've instructed you. That it's going to cost you, but ultimately it's going to be more rewarding. And there's the question that's hanging in the air in the midst of this. The question is this, is will you trust me? Will you live this way before you know the outcome? Jesus is saying, will you follow me even when you don't know maybe where we're going? And it's only when we express our trust in God in this real world that our faith intersects with God's faithfulness, and when we experience God right there in the midst of it. And then Jesus, he illustrates the future for these people. He says this. He says that the rain comes down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. If you want to experience God this year, 2022, you've got to do something with what you believe. I mean, this is an invitation to live your life out loud everywhere you go. That's how our faith gets stronger. That was something that these people, they understood. You know, flash floods, they could be devastating. I mean, the streams were rising all over Indianapolis this week right now. I mean, the foundation of a house, I mean, it could be the difference between life and death. The foundation of a house, it could be the difference between something being still there or it being a complete loss. And Jesus goes on to say this. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the implications of this, honestly, it's stunning. You know, it's stunning for like the average church person. It's possible to hear. It's possible to hear, to attend church on a regular basis, to maybe even nod, maybe even take a note every once in a while, take a picture of something you saw on the screen, but also to live a life that undermines your faith and sets you up for a crisis of faith later. Because here's what Jesus had to say about it. He said, everyone who hears these words of mine doesn't put them in practice, like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. I mean, this is quick. This is easy. This is low cost. This is easy entry. They listened and they believed, but they didn't do anything with it. It was too hard. It lasted too long. And what happened? Well, the rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and it beat against the house. And what happened to that house? Well, it fell with a great crash. So how do people who listen and believe but don't do, how do they respond when that crash happens? I was thinking about it this week, and I think here's what I think I know, and here's what I've seen before, is what happens when that crash comes, it is usually they either blame God or they conclude that there is no God. Because although they believed, their faith, it was weak. It was frail. It was fragile. So when your obedience intersects with God's faithfulness, your faith gets bigger. Because here's the thing, faith is a muscle. If you neglect it or maybe you refuse to act on what you claim to believe, one day you will wake up and you might discover that you don't believe at all anymore. that initially, honestly, you might feel relieved for a short time. Life will feel easier because building a house on sand, it's easier. It requires less. But when the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew against the house and beat against the house, what happened to that house? Well, it fell. It fell with a great crash. And your Heavenly Father, He wants better for you, because one day the storms will come. One day we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, but we've all seen women and men. We've all seen these people walk through these things and face it with extraordinary faith, extraordinary confidence in God. And the way that you get there, the way that you prepare for it, is practicing what Jesus preached. And when you meet someone with this big faith, it's because they've been living it, not just listening to it. Now, I'd love to share a story with you here today. It's from one of my friends, a teammate around here at Cross Point. Her name's Danielle. And Danielle's story is one that I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to maybe glaze over at all, because we want you to have a story just like this. And I believe that it can happen for you too. So check this out.
My family has been coming to Cross Point a little over 4 years. And when we first came, Jeff and I were new parents, and we were looking for a place that, number one, it was okay to not have it all together, which we totally didn't, we still don't. But then also for an environment where we could take what was being taught and actually apply it to our lives and help raise kids to be awesome, productive adults. And when we joined Cross Point, you know, we came and visited, we were able to walk away and apply some things that we learned that weekend to directly to our lives, and we thought that was amazing. Normally try to find, anytime I go to a conference or even during the weekend services, finding something that I can apply to my life. And I think the one that I realized that I actually still do today and I do every day was something, I think it was a few years ago, I don't even remember the exact point that it was shared, but it was during one of the teachings here at Cross Point. I believe Kurt was talking about prayer, and he mentioned asking God, what is your purpose and will for today, and how can I be a part of it? And I thought, okay, that really resonated with me. So I just started adding it into my daily prayer, and it has been probably life-changing, I have to say, because where I work, my whole day is structured from like the time that I log in to the time that I log off. It is like back-to-back meetings, and every day is planned. And if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. And just taking a step back and every morning saying, God, you know what's happening today. I got to get all this stuff done. But I'm willing to say, let me be open and have a flexible mind, that if you're trying to show me something, if something's supposed to be happening, I'm supposed to be having a conversation with someone at work, let me be mindful of that. And over the past couple of years, since I've been using that, I've found that some meetings do run 15, 20 minutes over because maybe I've had to share some encouragement with someone or even pray with someone at work. I think that's all because at the beginning of the day, I kind of set that mindset of, let me be sensitive to just whatever I need to do in the moment, instead of just saying, I need to get this done. I think there's different seasons. Like I found maybe my act of faith would be different at different times in life. And one scripture that I've always connected really closely with is Matthew 6:33, and it's all about seeking God first and the kingdom first, and everything else gonna fall into place. And whether that was when I was a teenager, or you know, trying to make a decision for college, and then trying to make a decision for like a husband, and then kids, and even the church, every season of my life I've kind of went back to put God first. And serving, you know, just serving allows me to put others and God first, and it, especially the last couple of years through the pandemic, it was very easy to think about myself and like, oh my gosh, it's horrible, I'm stuck inside and my kids are at home from school and I'm never gonna get through this. But then just taking some time out to put others before yourself, it gets you out of yourself, at least for me it did, so that was super helpful. And then, you know, honestly, Jeff and I, a couple of years ago, we really made a strong commitment to give financial into the church, and you know, through tithes and offering, and even just when we find that people need it, it hits deep, right? You're taking your money and you're putting it somewhere. But Jeff and I have seen so much just growth within ourselves and our relationship with God because we are trying to put God first. So it's cool to be able to live that out and see, have our kids see that. And we hope that we're like instilling that type of behavior in them. And I think through all of this, I honestly look at it as like a muscle. Faith is kind of a muscle. You just build it over time and it hurts and it's really awkward at first. but then I feel like, you know, just you get stronger as you go along.
Hey, can we just thank Danielle real quick? You know, I was so appreciative of her sharing her story this week, because here's the reality. The way that you get there, the way that you prepare for it is to do what Danielle was talking about. It's to practice what Jesus was teaching. That when you meet someone with a big faith, it's because they've been living it, not just listening to it. And there's a reason why we do all the things that we do here at Crosspoint. You see, our goal as a church is to help you make real-life application to the things that you learn every single weekend here. It's actually why we give you next steps every single weekend. Actually, this is a great time. Go ahead, grab your phone. If you want to open up the digital connection card, scan that thing right there in front of you. It'll take you right to those next steps. There's a reason behind every single one of those next steps we give you every single weekend, because our goal is to give you some real life application to the things that you hear. And here's the reality. It's not just about head knowledge. It's about how does this actually apply in my life? It's not just about believing. It's more like how do I do this at school? How do I do this with my friendships? How do I live this out in my marriage? How do I live this out in our relationships? How do I live it out in our finances? How do I live this out in my emotions? And this is why we try and provide handles every single weekend for all of our environments, all the way down to our kids' environments with our toddlers. I've got a two-year-old, and there's handles every single weekend when she's watching a video at home if she's here. I mean, there's handles, there's activities, there's things to engage with. It's why we teach practically in our series here on the weekends. Why we've got crazy things going on, because we want it to apply to your real life. And here's the thing, it's because we believe this, and this is one of our core values here at Crosspoint. All the way back to the very beginning, 15 years ago, this is one of our core values, that life change, it requires growing and changing. For anything organic, it must continue to grow and change, or it dies. And here's the thing, there's a time and a place for quiet reflection. No doubt about it. It's something I practice on a regular basis, but it's also not something that you're going to hear oftentimes on a weekend here at Crosspoint. Because a weekend here at Crosspoint, honestly, it's why some people don't love this place. It's why some people disconnect and feel like, oh, maybe that's just not the right spot for me, because it's loud and it's boisterous at times. Maybe it's even irreverent, like game day. Game day, it's a perfect example. I mean, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but our goal is to help people find their way to God, not to just simply give them more head knowledge. And here's the thing, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. Let me just start right there, okay? I'm not comparing myself. That's a disclaimer before I say what I'm about to say. But honestly, read the stories for yourself. When Jesus would teach, it oftentimes was not quiet and it was not reflective. When Jesus taught, John, actually, he's right there. He's in the midst of it. He records for us that on at least two occasions, while Jesus is up still teaching, the people around him, the people in the audience, in the crowd, start gathering up stones to stone him. You think that was a quiet and reverent moment? No, it was loud. It was boisterous. I mean, people were active. There was movement happening. And when Jesus would teach, it was because the things that he was teaching about, it was disturbing. I mean, it was upside down. It was so different. But what Jesus was doing is he was inviting them to simply, not just a way of believing and understanding, but actually living differently. He was inviting them to do something different. And there was so much tension in that. There was so much grit in that. And oftentimes there was so much anger in that. I mean, another time when Jesus was preaching, they pushed him up to the edge of a cliff. I mean, this was not a crowd. These were not crowds where it was quiet and reflective all the time. He hadn't even finished his message yet. And so from time to time, to follow Jesus, to be invited to follow Jesus, I mean, there's going to be tension. There's going to be resistance. I mean, how many times, honestly, Have you sat, you've been watching a message at home, maybe sitting right here on the weekends, or maybe somewhere else where you've been sitting there. There's been someone up on the stage like me who's talking, who's challenging you, who's maybe pushing you a little bit further than you want to go. And what did you do? I've been there. I've done it myself. I sat there and I argued with them on the stage like, no, I'm not doing that. You can't make me do that. I don't want to go any further than that. I mean, it's our nature. I mean, that's the way we're wired. But your Heavenly Father, He's saying, guys, come on. I want you to trust me. I want you to step out and do what you know that you need to do, because on the other side of that, you will experience my faithfulness. Now, there's an author, a pastor, who wrote this comment about this. What do we do with application? His name's Lane Jones. This is what he said. He said, unapplied truth, it's kind of like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anybody any good. You see, the value is in the application. I mean, we all have a paint. Let's be honest. We all have a can of paint in the garage, in the closet, in the basement that's been there. It's full. It's ready for that project. And yet, well, it's just sitting there still, right? I mean, I'm there. I'm sure you're there as well. I mean, application, Jesus agrees. Application is what makes the difference. And so one thing that God uses to grow up, to mature, to blow up our faith is this application-oriented teaching. Someone who can give us some handles. Someone that challenges us to not just simply sit and listen, to not simply just experience something, but to do something with what we hear. And so what I would urge you to do is to find somewhere where somebody will teach you in such a way that you know what to do with what you hear. And to stay engaged, to get involved, to engage with your family, with your kids, to help them get involved. And it's not just simply about being better people. It's about growing this enduring faith, this big faith, this in spite of faith, in spite of the season, in spite of the storms, in spite of the wind. It doesn't matter. Our faith is going to cling. We're not going to abandon it. Because following Jesus, here's the thing. Following Jesus is going to stretch your faith. It's going to exercise your faith. It's going to grow your faith. But ultimately, that's why we say all the time that following Jesus, it will make your life better, and it will make you better at life. And I know that we've said it multiple times. We all know people that way. So I've got an idea for you. Why don't we just try and become people like that? Because the world needs more people like that, right? I mean, your world, your family, your community, where you work, I mean, needs people like that. So let's not be content to just simply believe correctly. And let's not be content to just simply believe true things. Let's act on what we believe. And in those moments where we're feeling maybe that prompting to go and to apologize and to forgive and to talk to that person or go up and ask them that question, maybe humble yourselves, maybe just simply show up. Let's just say yes, because it's on the other side of that application that our obedience is going to intersect with the faithfulness of your Heavenly Father. And when that happens, when we experience God in that way, it's when our faith will get bigger. In other words, let's choose to follow Jesus, not just believe in Jesus, but follow Him as well. So let's go ahead and stand. This week, as a result of being here, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to think through, you know, just what's one thing. What's just one thing over the next week that I've heard that maybe Jesus is prompting me to do? What's just one thing that I can begin to live out daily, that I can begin to live out practically? Is it maybe deciding, you know what, I need to go about forgiving somebody. I need to go about asking for forgiveness. Maybe it's I need to be more patient over the next week. Maybe, as Danielle said, maybe it's starting your day by asking God, how can I be a part of what you are doing today? Maybe it's taking some solitude time. It's something we're going to talk about here in just a couple of weeks. Maybe it's starting there. Or it's giving. It's starting to give. It's trusting God with that 1%. Maybe it's trusting God with that 2% and seeing Him meet you right there in the midst of it. So don't miss this opportunity to dive in practically and to look for your obedience to intersect with God's faithfulness, because when that happens, I can tell you from personal experience, your faith, it will grow, it will get bigger, it will get stronger, it will endure. So I want to pray for you. The band's got one more song and we'll wrap this up. God, for all the people within the sound of my voice right now, God, I pray right now that we would choose to lean in, that we would choose to live out what you're calling us to do, that Lord, you would give every single one of us just one thing this week to step out in, to trust you with, to live more practically this week. Jesus, we love you.